Peter, if we have this binary soul system, what about ghosts? What is your explanation for them, why they haunt, why they hang around?
Well, actually, ghosts are very interesting to me. I feel that they're one of the strongest pieces of evidence supporting the binary soul doctrine. The majority, the vast majority of ghosts that are reported are the kind of ghosts that seem to be functioning on complete automatic. Every time they're seen, they're always seen in the same place, wearing the same clothes, doing the same things, the same gestures, the same body movements. Sometimes they'll actually be seen in buildings, going up staircases that no longer exist, or going through doors that no longer exist. They seem to be completely unconscious of their surroundings. They seem to be completely focused on their own memories and their own emotions and going over them again and again and again automatically. And that's exactly what you would expect the unconscious mind to do under the binary soul doctrine. If it was separated, if it no longer had its conscious mind, it wouldn't be able to make any new decisions. It would be frozen in its own memories and keep regurgitating them again and again and again.
I do not believe on a whole that, let's say, the United States, the people within this country, believe in a binary soul system. Do you find that to be the case in other countries as well, in France, you know, Canada?
I would say that for the most part, no, they don't. And I can give you an explanation for why.
Sure.
That is. I believe that at one time, this was pretty much a universal belief, not just in Europe, not just in Asia, but all over the world. In America, in the primitive traditions of the American Indians, all over the planet, there are binary soul traditions. And it seems to me that when that came to an abrupt end was just about when the Roman Empire merged with the Christian Church. Now, when the Christian Church first started, it seemed to also be based on the binary soul model. There's a lot of evidence in the biblical scriptures and also in the extra canonical scriptures that describe or refer to both the soul and the spirit. They describe them as being completely different and separate, and sometimes they describe them interacting with one another. There's one passage in the Bible that actually describes them dividing apart from each other, just the way that the binary soul doctrine expects them to. I believe that it was a conscious decision on the part of the Roman Empire to change and to eliminate the binary soul doctrine. In order to do that, they had to start behaving as if the soul and the spirit were the same thing. They started referring to them as if these two terms were interchangeable. And, you know, that was like 2,000 years ago, so we've basically been taught or programmed for 2,000 years that these are the same thing. But, in fact, when those books were originally written, they were not. They were thought of as being very, very different elements of the human constitution.
Is it considered just something horrible in religion if you believe in a two-soul system?
It kind of is now, because the Roman Church really strongly came down against the idea of there being two souls. In some church doctrine about 600 or 700 AD, the Pope came in. He was real adamant about squishing the whole idea, about canceling out that ancient belief. But I believe that in the beginning of the church and before the church, that was what they believed.
This system of the two soul system, how does that affect us in life? So we know what's happening in death, if you're correct. What about life? I mean, are there any benefits to it here?
Well, you know, we're discovering that today. You know, this is kind of a new thing for us. 100 years ago, it was a real shock to... It was a real shock to the scientific community when Freud came out and he said, hey, you know what? We have two halves to our mind. We have a conscious, and we also have an unconscious. And, you know, the scientific community, they didn't want to hear that, because right about then, that was when they were starting to figure that their minds were going to be the masters of the universe, and there wasn't anything that they couldn't figure out and solve and control. And then Freud came along and said, hey, you know, you can't control the world. You can't even control half of your own mind. So they didn't like that. And then, what, about 20 years ago, they came and kind of reinforced the idea when they discovered that the two hemispheres of the brain, the right and left hemispheres of the brain, are very different, and they seem to actually each contain a separate mind in each one. So it's a new thing. It's a new idea, basically, to our culture. It's been around for about 100 years. You know, that everyone knew it 2,000 years ago. Then the Roman Church, they basically made it an illegal idea, and now science has come back around and started to reinforce the idea that maybe that was they were on the right track after all.
Can a person, an individual, be good and evil at the same time, then?
Well, it depends on your definitions of good and evil. Based on my understanding of the binary soul doctrine, good would represent a person who had an integrated mind, someone who's the two halves of the mind, that they were healthy, that they were communicating with each other. Now, if you talk about someone that is both good and evil at the same time, by, you know, conventional definitions of those terms, I would have to say that that person was, you know, mentally ill to some degree. Part of them was good, part of them was bad, but they are not what I would call integrated.
Well, you can have a person, though, let's say, in life, goes along, does some great deeds for people, cares about people, and then every once in a while, that demon within them, Peter, would pop up, and they do something like that. They do something bad. Can that be the same function with the binary soul?
Well, I think that the bottom line is that, you know, none of us are actually healthy. If we were psychologically healthy, if we were spiritually healthy, we would not divide apart at death. But if we were psychologically healthy, then we would not be doing this evil stuff. These ancient traditions said that the vast majority of people that live, they go through this soul division when they die, but that isn't something that has to happen. They all said that if you lived your life with integrity, with honor, if you didn't lie to yourself, basically, if you didn't, you know, deny half of your own mind from voicing its concern and helping to direct your life, if you allowed yourself to be integrated, then you would survive death, and you would not divide apart.